Hello, and welcome to Life Matters, the program where we engage life issues with critical thinking and a biblical worldview. Life Matters is an educational outreach resource of Assure Women's Center in Omaha, Nebraska. We're honored to host a variety of guests within the pro-life movement, each bringing their own unique perspectives, experiences, and backgrounds. The views and opinions expressed by our guests do not necessarily reflect those of Life Matters, Assure Women's Center, or our affiliates. Our goal is to foster open, thoughtful dialogue around life-affirming issues and equip listeners to stand for life.
Welcome to Life Matters. I'm Toni Clark, Executive Director of Assure Women's Center in Omaha, Nebraska. Our guest today is Beth Fox. She's the Board President of Rehumanize International, a nonprofit dedicated to building a culture of peace and life by opposing all forms of aggressive violence against human beings. Beth's story is deeply personal. Before she was even born, doctors advised her mother to have an abortion due to medical risk and a poor prognosis. Today, Beth lives with multiple rare life-limiting disabilities, yet she is a public health professional, speaker, and advocate who believes strongly that every human life is worth protecting, from conception to natural death. Beth, thank you so much for joining us today.
I'm happy to be here.
All right. Beth, can you share your personal story, maybe starting with the medical advice your mother received during your pregnancy with her?
Yeah. So I am the youngest of two children, and my mom, the main thing she always wanted was to be a mom. So when she got pregnant with me, she was thrilled. But she noticed that I wasn't like moving and kicking as much as my older brother had. And she went in for the 20-week anatomy scan, and they found that I had stopped growing and developing. And at 20 weeks, I was measuring closer to 12 weeks. Mm-hmm. And they ran some tests. At first, they thought I had spina bifida, but then they determined that that was not the case. This was back in 1992, so the genetic testing was a lot more limited than it is today, so they couldn't figure out exactly what condition I had, but because of how severe the growth and developmental issues were, they told my mom that I would not likely make it to birth, and that if I did, I would have such severe disabilities I wouldn't have a life worth living, and that her most merciful option would be to terminate the pregnancy and try again. They also told her that because they didn't know what condition I was dealing with, and what direction the pregnancy would take if it continued, that they didn't know what sort of risks it might pose to her health. Fortunately, although it was 100% legal and even medically advised for my mom to get an abortion, at that point, my mom did not believe that that was her choice to make, and she chose to give me a chance at life, and find a different provider who was willing to support her through this high needs pregnancy. Mm-hmm. And I ended up being born, and I did have very low muscle tone, and I was born legally blind, and I have a number of conditions, the primary of which is a neurodegenerative disorder that has been getting progressively worse as I've gotten older, and that I am in the final stages of now, and my medical team suspects that I'm probably in my last year of life as a result of that condition now.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, thank you so much for sharing that, and thank you for being on our program. And I'm gonna be praying for you. You know, God knows the number of our days, and I firmly believe that. And I pray that not one day would be stolen by the enemy. That every day that the Lord has for you would see. And, you know, your mom, thank God for her bold choice to say, no, this is not what I'm going to do. I'm going to carry this baby to term. And here you are. I could do the math and figure out how old you are, but
I'm 33.
You know, thank God that she said yes, and you're still here and a living testimony to what God can do.
Yes, absolutely.
Opposite of what perhaps doctors sometimes will say. So good. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. You mentioned that your doctor told your mom that abortion would be the merciful option because of your prognosis. When you hear that language now, what stands out to you?
It stands out to me that so many people in our society and in the medical community especially have this false belief that disability equals suffering. Yeah. And that just simply isn't true. I do face a lot of adversity in my life, and there are things that are harder for me than they are for most people, and I have to do a lot of things in different ways, but I don't see my life as a life of suffering. Mm-hmm. I am very grateful for the time that I have, and very grateful for whatever time I have left. And we seem to have this mindset that it's better to be dead than disabled. And I think that as long as that mindset is pervasive in our society, and especially in our medical community, that is the most deadly bias that people with disabilities face. Because we can scream and shout all the time that we're not suffering, and yet able-bodied people look at us and imagine that they think that they wouldn't want to live like us. And so they assume that it would be better to be dead than to have lives like ours. But our lives are the only lives we've ever known.
Yeah.
And we're grateful for them.
Absolutely.
So no, it's not merciful to end our lives in utero or any time after birth either.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know that I've ever equated disability with suffering, but I can see where I totally can, I must say, empathize with what you just shared, that could be some people's perception. And I think even from a natural standpoint, you know, from my standpoint, there's, you know, we've all endured some suffering in our life. And to say that, you know, we won't ever suffer is kind of hard. And to, yeah, it's just, that's a different perspective. I hadn't thought about that, but it makes me, I'm very aware of, I'm going to just say our need for, to see things from God's perspective, not ours.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, wow. So today you live with a chronic illness and multiple disabilities, and you rely on medical devices to see, to walk, and to breathe. Can you describe what daily life looks like for you now?
Yes. So I am ventilator dependent. I am not able to breathe on my own because my respiratory muscles are too weak to fully open my lungs on their own. So I am connected to a ventilator 24/7 by a 6-foot hose that I sometimes jokingly refer to as my leash. But at the same time, the ventilator has given me years of life that I wouldn't have otherwise, and the energy to continue on and do things that I wouldn't have been able to do without it. While it's frustrating being connected to a machine 24/7, it's also in some ways something that I celebrate that I have survived as long as I have with it. I am unable to walk without assistance. I am primarily dependent on a wheelchair. I can walk very short distances, like inside my apartment with a walker. But I'm not able, my right side, it is largely paralyzed due to recurrent strokes. So when I do walk, I kind of drag my right leg. I can't take full steps anymore. And I've been legally blind since birth. So I've learned to do a lot of things non-visually. Learned to do a lot of things. I have adaptive equipment on my phone and computer so I that I can they speak to me and I don't have to visually look at the screen. So I can do things like that by auditory means, and I've learned to do other things by feel that most people do by sight. And I also rely on a lot of medication for different bodily functions that should happen on their own. And that requires a lot of careful scheduling because there's some medications that have to be taken with food and other medications that can't be taken with food and some medications that can't be taken together. So it's the at this point, just the logistics of staying alive are like a full-time schedule, but it's worth it.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And I'm very grateful that we have the means and technology today that I'm still able to be here and to participate in society as much as I am still able to do so.
That's good. So I know you said your diagnosis is more of a is progressive.
Yes.
So have you always had to, have you always been confined to the respirator, or has this just been
I
symptom?
started using the ventilator in 2017, fall of 2017. And at first I used it full time at night and part time during the day. And then after a couple years, my muscles weakened more to the point where I am now, where I needed it 24/7.
Life Matters is the program where we engage life issues with critical thinking and a biblical worldview, and it is a ministry of Assure Women's Center. A group of generous partners has challenged Assure supporters to give $500,000 by May 29th. If that goal is reached, they will release an additional $100,000. Your gift today can help unlock this challenge and reach more women before the abortion industry does. Visit firststeptolife.com to give today.
Welcome back. I'm Toni Clark. You're listening to Life Matters. Today we're talking with Beth Fox, Board President of Rehumanize International, about abortion, assisted suicide, and the importance of human dignity from conception to natural death. So many people assume that a life with significant disability must be a life of constant suffering, which you just kind of said that a bit ago. How does your lived experience challenge that assumption?
In psychology, we talk about when we go through adverse or traumatic events, afterwards, there's you can either experience post-traumatic stress or post-traumatic growth. And I think that even though that theory is kind of intended to apply to like a singular traumatic or adverse event, but I think it also applies to something like mine where you're kind of living under adverse circumstances. And I think that living with chronic disease and disability are adverse circumstances, at least in the society, in the world that we live in. We live in a world that is not designed for people with disabilities. So there is a lot of fighting for access and fighting for what we need. But there's a lot of who I am has developed because of my disability and not in spite of it. I have grown very strong in my faith, because that has been something that I have had to cling to and rely on as something, one of the few things in my life that was always unwavering. I have developed and become extremely passionate and determined in ways that I might not have if I didn't have to always fight and persevere so hard from a young age. And I've just gotten to experience things simply because of my disability that I might not have experienced otherwise. So while I definitely wouldn't say that there aren't hardships or adversities that come with being disabled, that's not all that it is. There's much more to it. And a lot of it is how we choose to respond to what we're given. We can't choose. We can't choose the hand that we're dealt, but we can choose what we do with it. So I didn't choose to have multiple severe disabilities, but I can choose to live my life the best that I can with them, and choose to continue to fight to make this world a better place for myself and people like me, instead of just accepting the status quo as it is.
That's good. That's good. Your life is a testimony that every life matters. God has a purpose for every life. And, you know, once again, going back to your mom's decision to say, no, I'm going to carry this baby to term. And then your decision to say, yeah, I have adversity, but I'm going to live my life to the fullest, to the best of my ability. You know, I think about some people who don't have disabilities that are living less than the life that God plans for them because of a choice they made. And, you know, you could have made a number of choices, but grateful for the choice that you made, that I'm going to make the best of the life that I've been blessed to have. Yes. And you're a testament to that. So thank you. You're a great example. Now, growing up, how early did you begin to sense that society views some lives as more valuable than others?
I would say probably pretty early. Even in early elementary school, I was bullied pretty significantly for looking and acting differently than my peers. Because of my vision, I always had to be in the front of the classroom, and I often had to get up and physically get up out of my seat and move forward to the blackboard to see what was written on it. And a lot of my peers made fun of me for that. And because of my mobility impairments, I was often mocked at like recess and PE and things like that. So at that age, I don't think I realized that like society disvalued my life, but I definitely realized that I was different and that my peers saw me as different and as less than. And then it was probably in my teenage years that I started to see how much the world outside of my peer group, that the world at large really devalued and dehumanized lives like mine. And it was as a teenager that I learned that my mom had been told to that she should abort me, and that was when I really became passionately pro-life. But that was also as a teenager, as I saw how much the world devalued my life, it did also make me question the value of my own life, and For a while, I bought into the lie that I was just a burden to those around me. And I started to struggle a lot with ideas of suicide, and even to the point that I made a plan to end my life because I felt like so few people cared about me and that the few people who did would be better off if they didn't have the burden of having to care for me. And now looking back, that breaks my heart, and it's one of my biggest fears that other people with disabilities are still being fed that same lie that they are burdens or that they are less than when they're not.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm grateful that your plans did not succeed.
Me too.
But and that's a great prayer. You know, I would say I would probably add that prayer to my list of things to pray for, that people with disabilities would not see themselves as less than, that they would learn to value the life that they're living. Because I say society, culture, the enemy would feed us those thoughts. And I would say even, you know, to the point where we feel like maybe it's a good thing if I'm not here. Mm-hmm. And that's just the lies from the enemy.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's just the lies from the enemy. So looking back now, do you see a connection between a culture that accepts abortion for disability and the despair that many disabled people experience later in life?
Absolutely. I think that if we devalue the lives of people with disabilities at any stage, at any life stage, whether that be the very beginning, the very end, or anywhere along the life spectrum, that it's hard for people with disabilities not to generalize that to themselves anywhere else on the life spectrum. Yeah. If we are telling people with disabilities that people like them don't deserve to be born, or people like them should be ending their lives early, mm-hmm. then it's hard not to generalize that and say that, why should I be alive now? And that absolutely builds onto that feeling of being less than and that feeling of being a burden. And this isn't exactly the question you asked, but when it comes to the other end of the life spectrum with assisted suicide, there becomes a double standard then when you do fall into that despair as somebody with a disability, but then you're offered assisted suicide instead of medical professional help and suicide prevention. And that double standard that exists for people with disabilities in many countries and many states, tragically takes the lives of many people with disabilities prematurely.
Absolutely. I definitely think there's a connection. I agree with you. There's definitely a connection when our society, our culture doesn't value unborn life. It's so easy to just translate that to any life that doesn't look like mine. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, that is the state of our world. Some areas and some countries worse than others, but we have to change that.
Absolutely.
We definitely have to change that. I don't know how it begins. Maybe it's just conversation. People are hearing us talk. Hearing your story, you know, you could not have been here. But you're 33.
Yep.
And we're going to pray for 34.
Yes.
So, well, one case many listeners may remember is Terry Schiavo. When did you first hear about her story?
I vaguely remember hearing about that when I was a late teen, but I didn't fully understand what was happening. Mm-hmm. But I learned more about it while I was in college. That's when I really became, when I really understood what happened, and learned the real facts of the case and not just what the media was reporting that she was still, for the most part, conscious. And it was just the disagreement amongst family members on how to care for her. It terrified me because I saw myself easily ending up in a similar situation and being conscious but not physically able to fully express my desires. The idea of having family members then arguing over what was
best
for me and arguing to end my life prematurely was terrifying. For me, at that point, it motivated me to create an advanced directive and very clearly lay out that I did want life-saving measures and expressly list what I would want if I wasn't able to communicate things. But yes, I remember being horrified by that case, and especially because I could, that as somebody who was already severely disabled, and related very, very strongly with her.
Please join us next week for part two of our interview with Beth Fox. Life Matters is an educational outreach resource of Assure Women's Center in Omaha, Nebraska. To learn more about the ministry of Assure, visit firststeptolife.com. That's firststeptolife.com. A group of generous partners has challenged Assure supporters to give $500,000 by May 29th. If that goal is reached, they will release an additional $100,000. Your gift today can help unlock this challenge and reach more women before the abortion industry does. Visit firststeptolife.com to give today. Thanks for listening to Life Matters. Join us again next week at the same time right here on Bot Radio Network.